Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We skipped a week last week, but we're learning Perek Chaf Beis. And last week, I should say 2 weeks ago, we did probably the majority of the Perek, certainly the first half, and then I think we did a little more than that. But we'll do the other half tonight. And if you remember the first part of the Perek, so Shaul comes to accuse the Kohanim of Nov of basically, you know, cooperating with David, and through that rebelling against the king. David has all these people collecting with him, and at the very end last week, we learned Pasuk Yud Aleph, where Shaul calls Achimelech ben Achituv the Kohen. He summons his entire family, all the Kohanim of Nov. They all come and approach the king. And Shaul addresses them in a degrading fashion, we said. And he asks them, you know, why did you rebel against me? You banded together with David, you're rebelling against me, treating him like a king. You gave him food to eat. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Besidcha lo lechem. You gave him food to eat. V'shaul avcherev, and you gave him a sword. V'shaul lo be'lokim, and you asked the Urim V'tumim. You consulted the Urim V'tumim on David's behalf. Lokum alai lo'orev, and the whole purpose of I'm not sure what happened, but I think we're back now. Shaul is accusing them of cooperating with David, and essentially rebelling against the king. Okay, now let's see Pasuk Yud Dalet. Let's see Pasuk Yud Dalet. And what's Achimelech's response right after Shaul accuses him and his entire family of being accomplices to Merida B'Malchus, rebelling against the king? Let's see Achimelech's response. I think we ran through some of these pesukim at the end last time, but let's just do them again a little bit more in depth. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayan Achimelech es Hamelech. Achimelech the Kohen replies to the king, Vayomar, and he says, Umi b'chol avadecha ki David. Who's like David among all your other servants? So Achimelech is defending himself. And he's saying, you know, I had no clue. You're accusing me of colluding with David. You're accusing me of being an accomplice to a crime, to rebelling against the king. I had no idea that David was running away. I had no idea that David was rebelling against you. How was I supposed to know that? David is an incredibly faithful servant. Ne'eman. Right, he's faithful. The Chasan HaMelech, he's the son-in-law of the king. Misarel Mishmatecha. Different ways in the Mefarshim of interpreting that, but essentially, he always serves you. He always listens to your commandments. one of those two ways. V'nichbad beveisecha, and he's a very honored person in your home. The Malbim says that, you know, There are four reasons. I'm sorry? Correct. But the Malbim says that essentially Achimelech is presenting four arguments why I did not think that he was rebelling against the king. I had no idea, right? Number one, by nature, he's a faithful person. That's Naaman. That's who he is by nature. Number two, he goes out of order. V'sar al mishmatecha. He's always listened to you in the past. So why would I think that he's rebelling against you if he always listened to you? Number three, he's part of your family, V'chasan HaMelech. So there's no reason to think that he's rebelling against you for any familial reasons, because he's part of your family. And number four, V'nichbad b'veisecha. Sometimes people rebel because they want the upper hand, right? They want a promotion. They want the job. You know, whatever the case might be. Talk about current Israeli politics maybe, right? Right, sometimes people defect, they rebel because they want a higher position. But says the Malbim, essentially what Achimelech is responding, David HaMelech, he was already honored. He's already one of the highest people in your court. So that's not why he was rebelling. So for all of these reasons, I had no idea, says Achimelech, that he was rebelling. I had no clue. And in fact, we know that David didn't tell him at first. Says Achimelech, the way the Mitzudas David understands it, I thought he was going with your shlichus. I thought he was operating with, you know, with your shlichus. That's what he said. Remember, that's the story that David told him. He said, I'm going with the shlichus of the melech. I'm doing the mission of the king. So Achimelech is defending himself against these accusations of Shaul. Pasuk Tesvav. Hayom hachilosi lishalo. And now he addresses the consult, the consultation of the Urim V'Tumim. And there's two different ways of understanding this opening phrase of the pasuk. Hayom hachilosi lishalo be'lokim. So Rashi understands that it's bitmiya. It's he's asking a rhetorical question. This is Achimelech talking. Achimelech talking to Shaul. Hayom achilosi lishalo velokim. Have I just started today to consult the Urim V'Tumim on his behalf? I've been doing this for a long time. David is one of your generals. David is always going in battle, out of battle. I've been consulting the Urim V'Tumim on behalf of David for many years. This is not a new thing that I consulted the Urim V'Tumim. You're accusing me of colluding with David, who's rebelling against you because I consulted the Urim V'Tumim. I always consult the Urim V'Tumim for him, right? So this was, according to Rashi, it's a rhetorical question. It's incredulous. You know, I'm not just starting this today. This is not a new thing that I'm doing for him. Now, the Radak brings that interpretation, but the Radak also says we could understand it as a statement, Hayom achilosi lisholo be'elokim, that this is the first time I have done this for him. Meaning, there's no reason for you to think that I did anything wrong, because you know, I had no clue that you didn't get along with him. I had no clue that he was fleeing from you. This is the first time I'm hearing this, the first time I'm doing this. And says the Radak, I apologize and I'll never do it again. So according to the Radak, Achimelech is essentially, you know, admitting fault. He said, I didn't know any better. I didn't know that this was a problem. But let me just apologize to you. I'll never do such a thing again. Now that I understand that, what you feel and that he was, you know, fleeing, and you feel I was cooperating to do it. Okay, I'll never do it again. Chalila, back to the pasuk. Chalila, right? Chas v'shalom, I would never do such a thing. I would never act in a rebellious fashion towards you. Al yasem hamelech be'avdo davar b'chol beis avi. Please do not, even though it's yasem, but many of the mefarshim understand he's essentially saying, we're not guilty. I and my family are not guilty of any treason, of any betrayal, of any rebellion. That's not what we're doing. We're not guilty of that. Kilo yada avdecha b'chol zos davar katon ogado. I didn't know an iota about what was going on. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that David was fleeing. I didn't know David was rebelling. I didn't know you didn't get along. I didn't know any of this. This is the first time I'm finding out about this. Now, it's interesting that he mentions his family, B'chol Beis Avi, right? The Radak says he has to mention his family. Why? Because Shaul, I'm sorry? So Shaul, exactly, very good. Shaul did that. Shaul used his father's name, Ben Achituv. And according to one of the Mefarshim, the reason for doing that was because he was implicating him in the rebellion as well. That I know it's not just you, but it's your father, it's your family. I know that you guys are at fault. And says the Radak, also, they were all summoned. Shaul summoned not just Achimelech, but he summoned his entire family. So Achimelech says, if I'm going to defend myself, I have to defend my whole family also. I can't just defend myself. Vayomer HaMelech, Mos Tomus Achimelech, Atov V'chol Beis Avicha. I hereby sentence you to death. You, Achimelech, your entire family, I sentence you to death. He did not take his excuses. Shaul did not accept what Achimelech, you know, was saying to defend himself. I'm sentencing you to death. And again, what's the crime? What's the crime? The crime is essentially aiding. Well, it's treason because you're helping David, who was rebelling against me, right? So the Melech says, La Ratzim Hanitzavim Alav. The Melech says, presumably this is referring to you know, young men, his servants who were there, you know, to do his errands, haratzim, they would run to do his errands, who were standing there. Sobu v'hamisu kohanei Hashem, turn around and kill the kohanim of Hashem. Kigam yodam im David, their hand is also guilty with David, rebelling against me. V'chiyodu kivoreachu, they knew that he was fleeing. Right, he's denying the whole story. They knew that he was fleeing. Velo galu es ozni, they did not reveal it to me. Velo avdu, and what was the response? Now, how did they react to that? Right, they're being told not to kill the kohanim. Not such a pasha thing. You know, it's one thing to kill criminals, but here I'm being instructed by the melech to kill the kohanim, to kill Achimelech and his family. Velo avu avdei hamelech lishlovach es yodam lifkoa bechohanei Hashem. They didn't listen. They did not listen. They did not listen to to touch even the Kohanei Hashem. Rashi understands that who were these people, the Ratzim? Rashi understands they were Avner and Amasa. Avner, right? Avner, Bener, Avner and Amasa. They were the ones, they wasn't just any Stam young people, but they were the ones who were now being instructed to kill David. Why didn't they listen? The Pasuk just says they didn't listen. The Pasuk doesn't say why. You know, I mean, were they scared? You know, why didn't they listen?
Then wouldn't they be Malchus?
They would also be Marred by Malchus, right? So Rashi says they didn't listen because they made a drasha. What's the drasha? The Pasuk says in Yehoshua, excuse me. The Pasuk says in Yehoshua, when Yehoshua is taking over for Moshe. So the Pasuk says about Yehoshua's leadership, Kol isha asher yamre espicha velo yishma es divarecha. Anyone, Yehoshua, who does not listen to you and who does not heed your words, l'chol asher tetzavenu, for anything that you say, you must. They will be killed. Mori b'malchus. Rak chazak ve'ematz. You should only be strong. Now we know ach and rak, the Gemara says, are taken in a literary context in psukim to minimize, to detract from what we're saying. So we're saying that everybody, if you don't listen to Yehoshua, you're going to be killed. However, rak, chazak v'ematz, we're coming to exclude something. What are we coming to exclude? So the rak is coming to exclude that if a Jewish leader like Yehoshua or like Sho would tell someone to violate an Avera, that's not Merida B'malchus. You don't have to listen. So Avner and Amasa are listening to Shaul and they say, one second, Shaul's telling us to kill Achimelech ben Achituv. We know that this is not legit. That's what Rashi quotes from Chazal. We know this is not legitimate. We know that they do not deserve to die. They didn't do anything wrong, right? So if the melech tells you to kill someone and you know the person is innocent, you can't do it. So they didn't listen. Now they were at risk themselves of Morin B'malchus. They were willing to take that risk. We don't find that Shaul kills them as a result of this. He just moves on, right? Because he knew deep down that he wasn't correct. So they couldn't do it. They said, we can't do it. He's telling us to do an aver. He's telling us to kill innocent people. We can't do it. They refused. Exactly. Especially Kohanim. So the Malbim says Pashup Shot. Now that's a Medrash. The Malbim says the Pashup Shot is that they just didn't listen because they knew it wasn't true. Forget the Ach and the Rak and the Drush of the Pasuk, Rak, Chazak, and Matz. They knew it wasn't true, so they didn't listen. Period. It's lies. It's all lies. It's Sheker. We can't do it. Period. Okay.
Rabbi,
yeah.
If you stretch this, if this is, I mean, of course they were right, but yes. In general, if you start questioning the king, that's not a good precedent to set.
Correct. Whereas
you're supposed to listen to the king. It's not your judgment; it's the king's judgment.
Correct. You're right. You're right. But at the same time, you know, you do have to listen to the king. But at the same time, if you know that something is wrong, you have
to. If you know 100%.
Sorry?
Right? If you know 100%, If you think
correct.
The king is wrong, that's not good enough.
No, correct. Right. You have to know 100%. Obviously, they knew. They knew 100% that Shaul was wrong and Achimelech was innocent. Right? Or else, you're right. They would not have disobeyed Shaul. They would have had to listen to him. Okay. So, Pasuk Yurches, Shaul is not giving up so easily. Vayomer HaMelech L'Doeg. So Achimelech turns to Doeg. And Doeg, of course, we know familiar character from last parak. He's the one who was present when David and Achimelech were having their conversation in Nov. And he's the one who ratted out the Kohanim and Achimelech. So vata ufagava Kohanim. So Shaul says, okay, Doeg, you do it. You turn and kill the Kohanim. And Doeg did not have any problem with that. Vayisov Doeg ha'adomi vayifgahu ba'kohanim vayomes vayomahu shimonim v'chamisha ish no say eifod bud. And Doeg has no problem. He turns and he listens to Shaul and he kills the Kohanim. And on that day, the Pasuk says he killed 85 Kohanim who were no say eifod bud. That's how they dressed. 85 Kohanim. the Radak says that he actually killed more than 85. 85 were only the chashuv ones who were fit to wear this eifod bud. The eifod bud was a special beged that was reserved for chashuvim, for the gedolim. So 85 gedolim wore this eifod bud, and that's who he killed. But he really killed many more kohanim in addition to the 85. Yeah. Dalid, yeah. Here, we'll talk about that in a minute. Very good. Okay. We'll talk about it in a minute. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Rabbi, I have a quick question.
Yeah, just give me 1 second. And I'll take your question. Sir. Just in terms of the eifod bud, so it's interesting. So the Metzudas David points out also that this was a special beged that people used to wear of chashivos, and he proves it from all. If we go all the way back to Perek Beis, because in Perek Beis of Shmuel Aleph, we learn that Shmuel himself wore an eifod bud. The pasuk says in Perek Beis, pasuk Yudches, Ushmuel mishares es pnei Hashem nar chagur eifod bud. That Shmuel, when he was training, when he was a young man training to be the Navi, so he wore an eifod bud. That was a sign of chashivus. Yeah, Mikey.
Yeah, so if that's the case that Avner and Amasa refused to kill the Kohanim, why were they still punished later on?
We'll have to get there. I can't answer that. I don't know. We'll have to get there. We'll wait and see. It's a good question. We'll wait and see. Okay. So he tells Doeg to kill them. Now the Mefarshim say here, Rashi says it, the Malbim also says it, that the reason why he turned to Doeg, I mean, Pashup Shad, you could say he turned to Doeg because maybe he thought that Doeg would not disobey him because Doeg was the one who brought the bad report to begin with. He was the one who ratted them out, and that's how Rashi says it. Rashi says, you know, you ratted them out to begin with, so you do it. You kill them, right? The Malbim puts in an idea from a pasuk. The pasuk says, Yad ha'edim tiyabov arishona. So when it comes to skila, the edim are the ones who go ahead and initiate the killing in Beis Din, right? Yad ha'edim tiyabov arishona. The edim are the ones who do it at first. So because of that, Shaul says, yeah, you're the aid, right? Doeg, you're the aid. So you should have the first hand in killing these Kohanim. Now, why is his name spelled in this Pasuk, Dalet Vav Yud Gimel, like Doeg? Right? That's how it's spelled. That's a good question. That's Aaron's question. So the Mefarshim pick up on this. And Rashi says that the spelling of Doeg hints to the fact that he's caught like a fish. Just like when a fisherman, right, catches fish, you know, the fish is caught, that's it. So he's saying that you're caught, you're the one who ratted them out, so therefore you are now caught, you don't have a choice, you have to kill them. He's basically forcing Doeg to kill the Kohanim, and he's saying, it's, you know, you're the one who brought this report, so you have no choice, you have to kill them, you're caught like a fish. That's how he understands it. The Radak says, Pashup Shat, is that sometimes people call them Doeg. So, you know, people often, usually they call them Doeg, and that's why the Kri is Doeg. The Ksiv, the way it's written, is Doeg, Sometimes people would call him that. He says the Medrash was that he was calling him Doyeg to degrade him. Right? We find again, you know, time and time again here that Shaul is calling people by names to disgrace them. That here too, he was calling Doyeg as like almost like making fun of his name to degrade him. But now he's got to do this. Well, Doeg with an olive means worry. Yeah. Yeah. Dog is a fish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. Now, it's interesting that the Radak also points out that now that Nov, which was the place of the Kohanim where the Mishkan was, and now Nov was essentially decimated. All the Kohanim were killed. So now the Mishkan was moved to Givon. Right? It was taken out of Nov and it was moved to Givon because, you know, the Kohanim were... we're decimated here. Yeah. Yep. Pasuk Yates. The Eis Nov Yirah Kohanim Hikal Lefi Cherev. And it wasn't just enough, the 85 Chashuvim that he killed, but he went and he killed many people in the city. May Isha Ad Isha. May Ola V'Ad Yonek. He killed men, women, children. V'Shor V'Chamor V'Aseh Lefi Cherev. He even killed animals. He killed everybody. The Radak says that here, when Shaul spared Agag of Amalek, remember that was Shaul's, the beginning of Shaul's downfall, when he spared Agag, so Abasko came out and said, don't be such a tzaddik. Don't be so nice. You're being too nice. You're saving Agag. You're being too nice. And now, when Shaul goes and kills the people of Nov, Abasko comes out and says, don't be such a Rasha. So we find Shaul literally at either extreme. When it comes to Agag, he's being too nice. He's sparing Agag when he should have killed him. And now when it comes to Nov, he's being too wicked. And he's killing people that he should have spared. It's interesting that the Radak points out that we don't find this sin of killing the Kohanim of Nov ever being mentioned in the context of Shaul, that it was a sin. But we don't find it. We don't find him being punished for this. I mean, we will find that he is punished, right? But we don't find it attributed to this sin. Why not? Right? Seemingly, this was a real sin. So why don't we find that the Shaul's eventual punishment, and the punishment eventually is that Shaul is killed by the Plishtim. And in part, says the Radak, that was punishment for what he did here to the Kohanim of Nov. And his sons were also killed. Oh yeah. Okay. Very good. There you go. So the Radak says it must be that there was an element of chiyuv. There was a little bit of guilt on the part of Achimelech and the Kohanim, and that's why when Shaul killed them, he wasn't 100% guilty, because they were chayev misa a little bit. They were chayev misa a little bit. They were not 100% innocent, and therefore Shaul was not 100% guilty. Therefore, right? Because they a little bit deserved to be killed, and therefore Shaul was not really held responsible 100% for what he did. What did they do wrong? Right? What did they do wrong? So they fed him. They fed him, but it seems that, you know, again, it's not clear. The Radak's not clear about it, but it seems that there must have been something that they did, you know. And again, maybe this was a little bit. They should have checked that a little bit more. They should have wondered why he was running. They should have checked his story. It's not so clear exactly what it was, but it sounds like there was something in what they did that was not 100%.
Rabbi, there's a Medrash Rabbah that says that the Kohanim were descendants of Eliyah Kohen. That's why they deserve to die.
Because they were descendants of Eli. Interesting. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I thought maybe that's why. I don't know. It's interesting. The Radak also quotes a Chazal that says, that almost implicates Yonasan in what happened here. Now, Yonasan, you're saying, like, what did Yonasan have to do with this? We don't even see his name anywhere, right? So the Chazal say that had Yonasan given David more provisions, Had he given him more food, he wouldn't have had to go to Nov, and this whole thing could have been avoided. Right? That's what the, that's what the Gemara says. That's what the or the Medrash maybe.
From the cave first, by
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But Chazal say had Yonasan given him a little bit more, then this whole thing could have been avoided. Now again, 100%. But again, so we're not saying Chazal are not saying that Yonasan was responsible for the death of the Kohanim, but Chazal are saying that how careful we have to be, you know, how careful we have to be with how we act and what we do, because everything we do or don't do can have long-term repercussions and can have effects and impacts, and we are partially responsible for everything that happens, you know, even down the line. I mean, you find in the Torah with Eglah, with the whole story of Eglah Rufa, right? So what happens? The elders from the city, if a corpse is found out in the field, the elders of the city have to come and say, Yodeinu lo shavchu es adam azeh, we're innocent, and they have to bring this Eglah Rufa. Why? Because obviously there was some level of guilt. They did not, you know, escort this person properly. They didn't give him what he needs to properly be on his way. So if not for that, Chazal say, had Yonasan sent Dovid with the proper amount of food, Nov would, the Kohanim of Nov would still be alive, Doeg would still be alive, and Shaul would still be alive. So in a sense, the death of the Kohanim, of Doeg, and of Shaul can all be traced back, again, to an extent, to Yonasan not giving Dovid enough food, which is a powerful, you know, lesson, a powerful statement. Now the Malbim, kind of in a more pashup shot sense, says that the reason why Shaul did this was because he wanted to scare people. He wanted to scare people that if David comes your way, David ends up in your city, David asks for help, don't help him. Don't take him in. Don't give him shelter. Don't give him food. Don't give him weapons. Right? You've been warned. This is what's going to happen if you help David. And now, of course, this the word's going to get out. Right? The Kohanim of Nov are all slaughtered. The word's going to get out that this is what happens when you help David. And that's essentially, says the Malbim, the message that Shaul wanted to broadcast to the people. David is a Marid B'Malchus. He's fleeing. He's rebelling against me. Don't help him. If you help him, you're an accomplice, and I'm going to come after you. Sorry? Well, coming up, we'll see. Not in this parak, but we'll see. Yeah, yeah. I said it. It's Chazal said it. Pasuk Chaf. One survived. Vayimaleid ben Echad. There's one lone survivor, a son of Achimelech, ben Echad Achimelech ben Achituv, Shmo Evyasar. Vayivrach acharei David. Evyasar escapes. He runs. And he runs to David. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayaged Evyasar to David ki harag Shaul es kohanei Hashem. So Evyasar runs to David. David takes him in and he tells him what happened. Vayomer David Evyasar. Yodati bayom ahu ki shom doeg haadomi. He says, you know what? David says, I knew that this would happen. Because I knew on that day Doeg was there. Doeg overheard the conversation. He saw what happened. Ki hageid yagid l'Shaul. He says, I knew that Doeg was going to tell Shaul everything. Sabosi b'chol nefesh beis avicha. He says, I'm responsible for causing the death of your entire family. I knew this would happen. I'm responsible. It's an unbelievable thing. Here, David, right? He's responsible. David's taking responsibility. But you see the quality of a real leader. Right? What's the quality of a leader? It's on me. I knew this would happen. Doeg was there. He overheard. This is my fault. I should have been more careful. This is really my fault. So he says, but I'll protect you. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Shevo Yiti, sit with me. Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Ki Asher Yivakeshes Nafshi, Yivakeshes Nafshecha. The same person who's coming after me is coming after you. Ki Mishmeres Ato Yimadi, you can be safe with me. So he was saying, now again, it's a question of how to understand this. Either that the one who's mevakeshes nafshecha, meaning Shaul's coming to get you, you don't worry, he's coming to get me also, so I'll protect you. Another interpretation, Rashi says, is that maybe the one asher yivakeshes nafshecha maybe that's not referring to Shaul who's going to kill you, but maybe that's referring to the Ribono Shel Olam, who's protecting you, right? Ki asher yivakeshes nafshi yivakeshes nafshecha, the one who loves me loves you. The one who's going to save me is going to save you, referring to Hashem. So it's either referring to Shaul or it's referring to Hashem. Either the one who wants to kill you wants to kill me, so come, I'll protect you. Or don't worry, the one who loves you loves me. The one who is going to save you is going to save me, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. So come, hang out with me, and Hashem will protect us. But either way, he's saying, stick with me, we'll be okay. Hashem will protect us from Shaul, and we'll be okay in the long run. Okay.
Right. What I find interesting is David wrote a Sefer Tehillim right after this incident. He wrote Sefer in bed, and he used Doeg as an example.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, if you look throughout Sefer Tehillim, I mean, many of the, all of the Kapitlach of Tehillim are responses to things that happened in his lifetime. Very nice. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. I know it's a little shorter, but we finished the Perek. So, Mir Sashem, next week we will pick up with Perek Chav Gimel. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
For joining.